B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings. Did I belch there, Rose, too? I don't remember it.
Me neither. I believe you did.
I don't remember it at all.
Let me hear it again. Let me hear it again.
Go ahead.
Just stand by. My skills, my computer skills.
I didn't think that was a belch. I thought you kind of were sort of like, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that was a belch.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was really just fumbling.
Verbal fumbling. It didn't sound good, but I've heard you belch on the air. I don't think that was a belch.
I'm not sure that was it. Mrs. Flatwater over here. Anyway, your phone.
We have it on video.
Your phones as promised. Chris in Linfield. Hi, Chris. Chris!
Yo, hey, what's...
Turn us down, man, and take us off speaker and do it. Just...
Of all the things that happen with the callers, that one might be the most irritating to me. That we, because they have the TV or the radio one, they're not paying attention.
Get your stuff together, is what I want to say. Mary in Manchester always has it together. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So I feel that Kraft wants to appease both Belichick and Brady. So my feeling is that, you know, he went to, had an independent conversation with Belichick and said, look, Bill, your career is going to outlast Brady's. So let's just sit tight, let him go to free agency, see what's out there, let him come back to us. We'll make some deal with him and let him ride off into the sunset. And after that, it's all you. And you can forge your legacy with another quarterback after that. I think if you put it in that perspective, Belichick might acquiesce to something like that.
He might, Mary, but then again, if Brady comes back and says the Chargers are offering me 3 years guaranteed at 30 per, Bill, you got to get close to that. What's Bill going to say? He's going to throw up in his mouth. And if it's 3 years guaranteed, Bill only needs 4 or 5 to catch Shula, so that only leaves him with 1 year at the end of Brady to get the next guy and set the organization up for the future and all of that. And I hate that plan if I'm everyone in New England. I'm sorry, I do.
Absolutely. Look, if Brady comes back and says I got 3 for 30 from San Diego, you know what Bill's going to say? Make sure Giselle takes the kids to the zoo. That's a great spot. Right? And while you're at it, you might want to go check out those aircraft carriers. It's a fun time. Like, see you later. He's gone.
I'll meet you for a drink in the Gaslight District. Gaslamp? What is that neighborhood down there?
Yeah, that's right. It is. It's either Gaslamp or Gaslight. Whatever. And the marina's pretty cool, too, if you want to check that out. Like, seriously, he's out of here.
No way.
There's no way they're giving him that. No way.
Alex in East Hampton. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how you doing? How are you, show guys? A couple quick points. One, I want to know your thoughts about him being disconnected this year after signing that 1 year contract. I feel like he emotionally wasn't as committed to the organization as he was before, calling himself just an employee and not really connecting with the young wide receivers and players. And then also, I want to know how much his TB12 will impact the market he's going to go into. All right, thanks.
Two great points. I think number one is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
He was emotionally detached from this year's team, and I think it's been a slow sort of detachment the last couple of years, even though 2 years ago they survived it all and won it all. But I think that detachment has been a slow, a steady, slow decline for the last 2 years, don't you?
I mean, in some ways, okay, and I recognize we're talking about Tom Brady here, but in some ways, if the Patriots now, quote-unquote, caved and gave him his contract, wouldn't they look stupid? I mean, think about it.
Well, they would look like the last 2 years, what were you doing?
Exactly. That's what I mean. Is you sit there and go, wait a minute. Brady was disconnected this whole past year. He wasn't engaged. So you basically cost yourself a season there. You could have signed him before, had him engaged, and then who knows? Maybe the passing game's a little bit better. Maybe you end up beating Miami the final week, and maybe you're hosting the AFC Championship game. Who the hell knows? I don't know. I'm just saying that it would look really like, so you were willing to sacrifice a year, maybe even a little more.
It would look Red Soxian.
Totally. There was no plan.
No plan. No plan and no conviction. We're going to gouge him just because we can gouge. Do we believe in him for the future or not? Nah, well, just going to gouge. Well, oh, now he's free, can sign somewhere else. Okay, here's all the money. Like, it's just reactionary bad management.
Business. Absolutely. Bad yeah, absolutely. And again, I even go back all the way to the Garoppolo deal. Garoppolo's traded. They lose the Super Bowl. Brady's the MVP, though. Had they extended him then, they wouldn't have this right now.
That's right. You've made that point before. It's a good one.
right? Like, so if they had just gone all in at that point, even if they had just given Brady another year, they'd be good right now. There'd be no issue.
Correct. Mike in Medway, Taysom Hill, if he's the next Patriots quarterback, how do you feel about it?
I'm a big Taysom Hill fan just because he's fun to watch. If it comes down to Andy Dalton or Hill, you're probably going to suck either way, but at least you'll enjoy watching it. But I do wonder if maybe the Patriots are more likely to go after him because he seems like a Josh McDaniels guy. He's kind of in the mold of Tebow or Jackson with great rushing, maybe questionable passing, something he can kind of mold into his image. But he's been looking for this kind of guy for a while.
Sure. I think Josh likes a mobile quarterback. Mass's point about Bill and the versatile player, loves it. Love, love, love. Murray, Taysom Hill or Andy Dalton?
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill or Marcus Mariota?
Taysom Hill.
I am Dalton Hill. I hate Mariota. I hate Mariota. I can't stand Mariota.
I'm with you, but I can understand why Josh McDaniels would want Mariota. He seems to like a mobile quarterback, obviously drafted Tebow back in the day. I think that would be a good fit for him.
So I'm sorry, Murray. You said Hill over Dalton.
Yeah. Hill over Mariota.
Hill over Mariota.
Yeah.
Derek Carr or Taysom Hill?
Derek Carr.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a toughie. That's close. Carr's more of a...
I think I'm Carr there. He's just a better passer. Yeah. He's just a better passer.
He's so gutless.
But he's a passer. And this guy, as much as I like him, and again, I'm a fan of Taysom Hill, it scares me. Like, I like him until he's the guy. And there's, Taysom Hill and Andy Dalton, Taysom Hill and Derek Carr, Taysom Hill and Drew Brees. Like, I like it. I love it. Because when he goes cold and he can't, hit the side of a barn, you get someone who can throw the football. If he were just the guy, like, then I think I might lose the power of my convictions.
What was that option again? Taysom Hill or Derek Carr?
Yes.
Stidham.
Taysom Hill or Stidham.
Stidham.
Yeah, probably Stidham.
Well, I would say both. In that case, I would take both, actually.
Yeah,
I would take both.
Yeah, and have him fight it out.
So. Yeah, I mean, to me, that scenario, I don't mind. Like, okay, let's see what it looks like. Now you got a year where you're basically auditioning a quarterback. And the transition is probably not going to be super smooth if they make it. So you're going to have to accept that as a sort of a reality. And multiple guys, I'll take that.
Tommy and Milton. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, guys. Listen, I don't want Taysom Hill at any price. That's the first thing. I know Murray played both sides there. You think McDaniels would enjoy coaching Mariota. I agree with you on that. I think there would be something that he's mobile. I don't think he was in the right system in Tennessee, and I just think he was wrong there. And a couple of things they have, the free agents, Chris Harris Jr. from the Broncos going to the Patriots, along with A.J. Green.
Okay, so Chris Harris, I like. I don't know, is there a need there? Their secondary is pretty good.
No need.
And I want nothing to do with A.J. Green. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Mariota, the more I think of it, the more I like it. Okay, so his problem is his arm strength, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he's got a noodle arm. I happen to think that that's like one of the least important things a quarterback. I don't care about arm strength.
Okay, but it's not just about the arm strength. It's also the willingness to throw the ball down the field a little bit. And I don't think he's willing. That's the part. And I'm not talking about 50 yards down the field. How about 20? 15. I just think, no. I think he's a complete waste of time. Waste-o-time.
Unlike Dalton, though. He's won a playoff game. We'll give him that.
Steven,
no big deal.
Steven Lowell, hi.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Forbes magazine did an article on kind of this exact thing, but what they talked about, what the financial impact will be if Brady does not stay. They talked about the last 20 years, the brand that they've built, and this $4 billion conglomerate. With no plan in place, how do the Crafts sustain this thing that they've built without a quarterback or viability going forward? I'll hang up and let you talk about that.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, they're going to have someone play the quarterback position. They're still going to have the greatest coach in the history of the league, and they're still going to be part of the most powerful league on the planet in the best sports town in America. I think they'll be okay. I really do. Now, if you're telling me that they have no coach, no quarterback, and we're back to 4-12 for 3, 4, 5 straight years, I think it will get soft here because
for all the things I just said about us, we still aren't Pittsburgh. We're not Dallas. Football's not in the blood here, okay? If you're talking about sports that are in the blood here, it's, you know, it's Red Sox and maybe Bruins, like, you know, hockey. So we're not a traditional football market, and if the team really went south for an extended period of time, it would get soft here. But I just, like, this thing, like, Brady leaves and all of a sudden they won't be able to make money? What are you, freaking nuts?
Yeah, let's not get ridiculous.
This whole thing, like, the world's going to stop if Brady's not taking snaps under center. Like, are you crazy?
No, and the other thing is if they have, this is the whole point of Belichick. This is why it makes sense to do it while Belichick is here, and you've made this point.
The sooner the better.
Yes, it's Belichick will help mitigate that, and in fact, not only mitigate the loss of Brady, he improves your chances of success with the next guy.
I mean, how does anyone else make money without Brady and Belichick? How does anyone else make money or have a, you know, strong franchise without winning six Super Bowls? It happens. A lot of teams are really popular, make a ton of money, have tremendous support, and they don't win anything. So, like, what are you talking about? You'll be fine. The franchise will be fine. The bank account will be full. Bursting at the seams. Bursting at the seams. Unless they really bollocks the thing. But if we trust the Krafts to be shrewd decision makers, which they are, and smart guys and good business people who make, generally speaking, sound good decisions, they will make sound good decisions, and they will hire a good coach, maybe not every time, but if they make a mistake, they'll correct it, and eventually they'll get it right, and eventually you'll be fine. The world will go on. It will continue to spin, and the sun will come up, and all this stuff. Okay, he's like the people who think like all of a sudden the thing's going to go back to Rod Russ 1991 without Tom Brady. You're nuts.
No way.
Okay, so we'll continue to mix this in throughout the course of the day, but we do have some other things to get to, starting with Chaim Bloom and the Boston Red Sox, his performance yesterday. There's news coming out today. So we'll get, apparently, according to, you know, multiple rumblings, the Red Sox are going to be punished by Major League Baseball today, maybe just a little bit, if
there's
at all.
There's an update on that, actually.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay, so, you know what, let's do this. We'll give you the update on the punishment coming down for the Boston Red Sox, the hiring of a new manager, and Chaim Bloom yesterday in his press conference for the Mookie Betts trade. All of that coming up right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What Mookie and David are capable of on the field is a lot. You know, I certainly think it's reasonable to expect that, you know, we're going to be worse without them. But we have real good talent coming back. We've added talent to the roster this winter. And I think it's important to point out, we felt, you know, at the beginning of the winter that this team had a lot more talent on it than the 84 wins that it put up last year. And we still think there's plenty of talent here to compete.
That was Chaim Bloom yesterday. We'll get to him in a second. We'll get to him in a minute. But first, the update. Murray, what's the update on the Red Sox and sign-stealing punishment and all of this?
All right, so a person with knowledge of this probe told the Associated Press that Major League Baseball will not have a decision in the Red Sox sign-stealing investigation this week, meaning the team will open spring training without knowing if it's going to be punished. Person spoke on the condition of anonymity because there's no formal announcement, and this is going to go into the spring.
Okay. Boy, there was rumbling. Like, Chauncey came on today on the midday and said, this is coming down today. Be ready. Get your finger on the button.
So I just want to make sure I get the timeline straight. We're now hearing that Ron Renicki is official, basically.
Well, yeah, right?
There's going to be some sort of announcement tonight.
Okay, so that's still happening?
I guess, but then at the end of this story, it says the Red Sox were reportedly ready to promote bench coach Ron Renicki to manager, but they appear to be waiting for the results of the investigation to make sure the Brewers boss, former Brewers boss, wasn't a target because he was the bench coach under Alex Cora.
Right.
So there's some conflicting reporting there. Because based on everything you've heard from the Globe today, I think it was Alex Speer that had it first, there's going to be a formal announcement later today.
Yeah, and other people have also reported that, you know, Renicki is going to be the guy. So If this is
with an interim tag,
right?
You know, it's specifically interim manager.
I just think the whole thing is coordinated.
Me too. I feel like it's all in the cards that the Sox are gonna the fix was in. The Sox are gonna be exonerated on their investigation. They fired Cora, so that appeased Major League Baseball. Ron Renicki is gonna be the interim guy. Cora's gonna get a year of suspension and come back in 2021. And this is like all sort of. This is it.
Yeah. And again, so now all of a sudden, you know, the reports on Renicki are being, quote unquote, confirmed. Okay. And then on the same day, we get that the cheating probe's going into the spring. So the Red Sox went to MLB and said, we get open camp here. What's the deal? Is Renicki in the clear? Yeah, we're not done yet, but he's in the clear. Go ahead. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Well, so I think.
Especially if they announce him.
Absolutely.
So if they announce him tonight, if that's still happening, then we know what the results of the investigation are. They're in the clear. Right. So we'll see if that happens. We'll see if that if the actual, you know, is there a press conference scheduled tonight, Murray, or anything like that?
That's what's being reported, yeah, that they're going to announce it tonight.
Okay. Well, if it does.
What a clown show this whole thing is.
The interim tag just goes to show you it's in the bag, and Alex Cora has to go away for a year, sign a non-disclosure thing, and he's going to be back next year as the manager of the Red Sox.
So I feel like that's a fait accompli. Meanwhile, your thoughts on Chaim Bloom yesterday?
So why do I feel like every, and I know you've made a similar observation, but I feel like every time this guy talks about the baseball team, like I'm talking to a graduate of the Harvard Business School.
I can't stand it.
It's way too sort of, you know.
Corporate.
Analytical. Yeah. Analytical, for lack of a better word. Analytical and corporate. It is just, everything is a math equation. And it's just totally devoid of.
Fun.
Or personality.
Fun. Zero, zero fun, zero, zero. And I know it sounds like I'm piling on Chaim Bloom. I don't mean to him personally. Like, I'm sure he's a good fellow and a good person. And like, I'm not like he is what he is. What I'm railing against is the direction of baseball, which is what this is now everywhere. These Ivy League droll automatons, analytic nerd kids. Am I talking to a person, and are we talking about ball? Because I don't feel like I am. I feel like I'm talking to a cardboard cutout from an Ivy League, you know, whatever, and talking about a spreadsheet and not a game, a sport that I'm watching and watched as a kid and is supposed to be fun. He is zero fun, zero, zero personality. No, they're there. Am I talking to a real person about ball? And I he's not alone. There's guys like him just littered across the league now. And boy, does it suck.
They boil it all down to an equation.
Totally. Yeah, it's totally. Again, I'm telling you, HBS class of 2019.
Never mind. What does that mean?
Harvard Business School.
Sorry. I'm not like, I went to BU. I don't even know, you know. Like, this is, I make fart noises in my armpits, like HBS, class of 19. Like, but that's what this is. It's like, oh my God, it just, am I talking to a person? Can you give me a real, like, is there a human underneath that? And, you know, like the first minute or two, he read from a statement. And it's like, Jesus, could you just come out and talk? It's, at the end of the day, I know it's important to a lot of people and there is money on the table, but it is ball. Like, this is... This it's not like a research study into cancer research or something. This is ball.
Well, they're trying to find a cure for the Red Sox.
God dang it. And I also just don't buy the thing that ownership wasn't involved. He did. So this was the first time I heard a pulse from the kid in the whole time here. He's asked, and Jimmy, this is the ownership involvement question. If he was asked if the delay in the trade and the change in the trade was a result of the media reports, which and the media reports were that the ownership didn't like the backlash, so they stepped in and made him redo the deal. And here was his answer.
I'm glad you asked, because we did hear that report, and that's absolutely untrue. You know, and unfortunately, when these things are going on, and especially during a process, you know, it's not something we're able to address. But that is not true.
Okay, I don't believe him. Don't believe him one bit.
Can I just give you one quick thing here, too? Whenever
Sure.
somebody says, I'm glad you asked the question, I always think it was a plan.
Well, I mean, someone was going to ask that one.
I know, but I always think it was a plan. Always. I'm glad you asked the question. No, you're really not. You would have been happy to gloss right over.
Glad you asked.
I'm telling you, I always think that those are plants, but go ahead.
So, and, you know, I mean, just let me specify what I mean about ownership involvement and them responding to the blowback. And we discussed this yesterday. I don't think ownership got cold feet because fans and media got bent out of shape that they traded Mookie Betts. That's not... They knew that was coming. And I'm going to play one more piece of sound here from Bloom that he speaks to it. And that is, like, they knew it was going to be unpopular. They knew trading Betts was going to create a little bit of a firestorm. Like, they knew that. They were prepared for that. I'm talking about the specific return of Graterol and the outfielder from the Dodgers.
Verdugo.
Okay, that specific return was not well received in the baseball community, maybe internally on the team, where after it was reported and the blowback came there, not, no, you're trading Mookie Betts, you can't do that. No, it was, boy, those are two high-risk guys for the best player in baseball.
See, that's what I think it was.
And maybe it was other GMs. Maybe it was, you know, media on that front, or it was internally the gang of four, or I heard Chauncey talking in the midday, the five people Heim Bloom have to talk. Somewhere in those interceding days, there was cold feet over the risk on the return, and it had nothing to do with the medicals. Nothing. That's bullcrap. But the pushback that they responded to was, you got to get a sure thing if you're trading, you've got to get something that has a chance to be more of a steady return than two high-risk guys like this for Mookie Betts. And Henry got cold feet and changed his mind.
Yep.
That's what that is.
So, and I think, like you would say, where did it come from? Maybe it did come from one of the other gang of four or five or whatever. I think that came from ownership. That's what I think. I think ownership went, wait a minute, look at this Graterol guy is scary.
But how did they not look at that before it went through?
Because they weren't prepared. They weren't ready. And I put this part of it on Bloom. You know, he either ignored it or the communication wasn't good or because he was new. They didn't do their homework. They weren't, which blows me away.
Scary.
Blows me away. Because the first thing you did when you looked at that deal, you said, again, Verdugo feels like a problem child, for lack of a better term. Okay, that there's a makeup issue with this kid, a maturity, quote-unquote, issue.
Yeah.
Maturity issue. Graterol, bad elbow, bad shoulder, historically, and he's overweight. But the upside's big. And on both guys, the upside's big. And it was like, we're rolling the dice on Mookie Betts here.
But I don't think they ignored it, Maz. I think they waited to hear it. What you just said, that analysis came blowing back in their face.
Maybe.
Okay, that exact analysis.
Maybe.
Problem child coming from the Dodgers. The Minnesota kid has a weight problem and his arm's about to blow up. That analysis came back to ownership Wednesday night, Thursday night, and somewhere in there, Werner and Henry got cold feet on the return. And it had nothing to do with the effing medicals.
No
nothing.
Question. Yeah, that part to me is like the medicals were a vehicle for them to get out of the deal.
And so they chopped off Bloom's balls and redid the deal. And so I do not believe one bit that ownership was involved in that, and that, you know, I just don't believe it. You know, I'll just play this last little cut from Bloom. They were prepared for the blowback on Betts specifically. Like, I don't think it was that. They were ready for that. They weren't ready for the negative reaction to the return, is what it was. But here's Bloom on, they understood the dynamic.
We certainly anticipated it. You know, it was, as we were, you know, going through this week, obviously it was hard to have a true sense of it. It wasn't our number one priority as a baseball ops department to be, you know, focused on what was going on externally. We were worried about, obviously, what we were working on. You know, it was very clear to us that this move would come with a lot of fan backlash. I think that, you know, we had to prioritize what we thought was right in the big picture for the Red Sox over the fan reaction. It certainly did not catch us off guard. You know, as I said, we know how much, obviously we know the type of player Mookie is. We know how much he matters to our fans. We knew it would hurt, and it's going to hurt for a little while. But, you know, again, the big picture was our biggest priority.
Okay, so it wasn't the Betts piece that got him scared. They knew that was coming. It was, boy, that's what you got back? Those guys are kind of risky, don't you think?
A little too risky.
And yep. Henry thought about it and got blowback there, and who knows if it was internal. And yeah, one of the report, I think it was Heyman, that said that's internal conflict. And so they have so many cooks in the kitchen there. Again, I heard Chauncey talking about this on the midday. It's like there's the gang of four underneath Heim Bloom who interviewed him.
Then there's five people he reports to on top of him, right? Henry, Werner, Gordon, Sam Kennedy. So now, like, Heimblum is under Sam Kennedy, where Dombrowski was sort of a separate wing. Now Heimblum is under Kennedy, and then Shaughnessy mentioned some finance guy that he has to report to. So he reports to five guys on top of him. He's got four guys underneath him who wanted his job and interviewed him for the job, including a guy with the GM title who's underneath him. And so you got nine guys in there, and him and this kid just got here. It's like, I think that was the blowback.
So you want a good conspiracy theory?
Hold it. We'll get to Mraz's good conspiracy theory and your reaction. We can mix in this Red Sox stuff with our Brady watch right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
All right, Mass, what's your conspiracy theory?
Okay, so the Red Sox make the deal for two risky prospects, Verdugo and Gratterall, and then all of a sudden they back out of the deal. And we've spent a little bit of time talking about the mechanics of the operation inside the organization. You have Bloom in the middle with four people under him and four people above him.
Five.
Okay, so someone stepped in and says, we're not doing this deal, go back to the table. Sam Kennedy is now above Bloom, as you've said. Who's Sam close to?
Henry?
No, outside the organization.
Theo.
Maybe Sam calls up Theo and says, hey, what do you think of the return we got?
Oh, yeah, something like this.
Right?
Yeah, this is why I said industry blowback.
Right. So this is why, but to me, this would be the most likely scenario. Sam and Theo are childhood friends. They go back a long way. So he calls up and says, hey, what do you think of the guys we got? Theo says, you know, Verdugo can play. He's a little bit of a project mentally because he's, the other guy is who knows what. I mean, like, you know, you
lusts for ice cream.
Right. You got problems there because that guy feels like an injury waiting to happen. I wouldn't have done it. Really? Yeah, I mean, you know, that guy's a little scary. He's got great stuff, but he's an accident waiting to happen.
So
Kennedy comes back, goes to Henry, and goes, we got to get rid of this guy.
That's the blowback we're talking about. That, not the fan blowback on Betts. It's something like that. Or one of the nine had a conversation with someone, said, really? That's what you got back?
I mean, now, again, I'm just giving you, you know, an easy scenario to pick at. But something like that happened. If it were Lucchino still here, no way in a million years, because Larry doesn't call Theo. But Kennedy and Theo are close, or maybe Henry called someone he knew in another organization that used to work for him, or who the hell knows?
This is one of these things, Murray, where Maz, again, is such a specific sort of thing that you just wonder.
Oh, yeah. And notice. Yeah, well, it's not on because you have to charge it because it's just been nonstop information buzzing you throughout the show the last 2 days.
I'm not wearing the watch.
Yeah, because it needs to be charged. Too many scoops.
I'm just telling you, I know how baseball works. Okay, because when the deal happened, you know what I did? I immediately picked up the phone and called some people I knew around the game who weren't affiliated with the Red Sox in any way.
Theo!
No, I honestly did not call Theo. But I did call some people that I used to, you know, that were scouts, evaluators, yep, that I used to touch base with every now and then to get. Because to me, if you touch base with anybody who has any tentacles to the Red Sox, no good.
Yeah, right.
Because then there are other motives and no good. So I wanted someone outside the organization to say, tell me about these players. And, you know, that's why I tried to get some independent assessment as close to objective as you can get. But the Red Sox, they're going to go to people they know.
Okay, so mixing in this Red Sox stuff with our Brady watch, James in Greenfield. Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What do you got?
I was just wondering, you know, why they have to combine Price and Betts at the same time? Why couldn't they have done the Price deal like 2 months ago and then done the Betts deal? It just seems like you would have got a better return if you kept them apart.
Maybe.
Instead of,
I don't know. I think the Dodgers make sense for David Price. I think he's just the kind of team, you know, that can handle his salary, even though you're picking up half of it. A market far away from here, because he hates it here. It's la-la land, where they're not going to be up his keister, and he might thrive there. I don't have a problem with them including the price, you know, because I just think the Dodgers would be a natural landing spot for him. And wrapping it into this deal, just, I don't know, that's a piece to it I don't mind, even if it may have hurt the return a little bit. I just wanted Price out. If I'm the Red Sox, I wanted Price out of here. And so if that's what it took, that's what it took.
I mean, given that Price was in the deal, they got more back than I thought they would have, considering the salary dump. Because that's really what Price is. Price is a salary dump.
Scott and Weymouth on Brady. Hi, Scott.
What's up, guys? It's been a while. Yeah, real quick, fell in and out. If Brady leaves, it's going to be a 5 to 7 year transition period. Now, is Bob Kraft this short sighted? Is he this short sighted?
Scott,
hold
on. If Bill Belichick, answer this question. If Bill Belichick is here as your coach, is that a transition period? Meaning like a reboot?
Yeah, I'll give you one example right from home. My mother already said, she goes, if Brady leaves, I won't watch. Watch the sale. Listen, let me close, Falga. I know you got a quick finger.
What does your mother think about the Mookie deal?
She's already into the Bruins. No, the Pats are Brady. The Brady is the Patriots. Are you ready to go back to Sullivan Stadium days? What, you mark my words. If Kraft is dumb enough to let Brady leave over a lousy $7 million, he's going to lose $70 million in merchandise, ticket sales,
wrong.
Season tickets.
Wrong.
Yeah, I'm right, and you know it.
No, you're wrong. Merchandise is shared. It's shared by all 32 owners. So a Brady jersey sold at that pro shop down in Gillette is shared by the Green Bay Packers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So no one's losing $70 million in merchandise anywhere. Wherever Brady goes and starts to sell, in fact, let me tell you this, Scott. The Patriots are going to make more money merchandise-wise if he goes somewhere else.
Especially if it's Dallas or the Raiders.
If he goes to some place where he looks sexy in that jersey, and I'm talking about the Raiders and Dallas, where he would look hot, and those jerseys would be bananas, they're going to make more money in merch because they're going to sell a whole raft of new Brady jerseys, and the Patriots sharing that revenue. So you are wrong with a capital W.
Silver and black, Brady, I'm telling you.
It's
pigskin porn.
It looks so, I want them, pants off, just the top, Tom, and no pants. Think of that.
How about just the helmet and shoulder pads? I told you, Brady in a Dallas uniform, too, the two of them.
I was discussing with Murray things that might make me consider to play for the other team, if you know what I mean. One is Brad Pitt with his shirt off on that roof, fixing the antenna. In that movie, that's one thing that might make me reconsider my allegiance.
Once upon a time in Hollywood.
Yeah, Brad Pitt with his shirt off on the roof fixing the antenna. Mm. The other is Brady in a Raiders jersey.
You just want him playing like Winnie the Pooh, just the top.
Telling you,
yeah. I'm telling you, Brady in the Cowboys uni. I'm going broke back.
Okay, we got bets. We got Brady. We've got a new playoff format that they're discussing in Major League Baseball. But Murray has another great conspiracy theory here. On this new playoff format in baseball. We'll get to that in our long commercial-free segment next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
From the people you've talked to, do people generally like it?
The baseball people I've talked to are open-minded the way you are because they look at baseball in recent years and they feel like, look, we have to make changes. And let's face it, baseball has more traditionalists than any other sport. I was one of those in the 90s when Bud Selig put in the wild card game. I thought it was a terrible idea. And you know what? I was completely wrong. It was a great idea. It drew in more fans, more teams, more players, gave them more opportunity to share in that October experience.
Buster only this morning on ESPN. All right, you've heard of this for cocktail playoff format, right?
Yes.
Let me give it to you first. We'll give you our thoughts on it, and then Murray's got a great conspiracy theory. So this is what Major League Baseball is discussing to begin in 2022. Listen to this. 4 wild card teams per league, which means 7 playoff teams per league.
Mm-hmm.
14 of the 30 would make the playoffs. 7 per league. The team with the record, the team with the best record would get a bye. The remaining 6, meaning the last 2 division winners and the 3 wild cards, okay? I'm sorry, the 4 wild cards are then, so there's 6 left, right? The top 3 among those would pick their opponent among the bottom 3, and they would announce it on a live television event on Sunday night, the final day of the regular season. So, again, 7 teams per league, though number 1 seed, the best record, gets a bye. For the division series, the wild card round, if you will, the next 2 division winners would then pick their opponent in that wild card round, and then the 3rd team would just be left. It's not a pick. There's only 1 left, and those two would match up. Those would be best of 3 wild card round games. Then that would go in the division series, and then the LCS, and then the World Series. Okay? That's pretty much it, and it would start in 2022. Your thoughts?
Okay, so I don't mind. I'm laughing because only baseball could come up with a quote-unquote new idea that is so freaking convoluted and confusing that, again, it further complicates the game. So I like the idea of one team getting a bye. I don't mind the idea of teams being able to pick their opponents instead of just going by record. I don't mind that either. Neither of those things, though, really addresses the bigger problems in the game.
That the game's unwatchable?
Right. Right. So we're going to add more playoffs to a schedule that's already too long to games that take too long. And the games that we're going to add are the ones that take 4 hours. What?
Yeah, we're giving you more baseball when what we should be doing is trimming.
So now listen, if this were in tandem with we're going to chop 20 games off the regular season. Hey, great idea. I'm in. In fact, make it 18, play 144. During one of those strike years, they played 144, right? I think it was 95. Fine. Perfect. They started in late April that year. This gives you the extra month of the season. You're still done at the end of the year. You get more playoffs with regular season. I'm in. This has my head spinning. Again, some of the ideas I don't mind, but it doesn't get to still what the core issues are in the game.
So there's 2 things I hate. Well, the first thing that I like is that at least they're thinking something different. I mean, I think baseball's got to get radical. So I think they need big ideas, big changes, and so at least they're thinking in that vein. So, like, that'll say that I appreciate and keep thinking, okay? Just don't do this. The first thing I hate is that those wild card round games are 2 out of 3, best 2 out of 3. No. Baseball struck on the best idea in sports in decades with those one-game wild card play-in games.
Another good point.
Those are the best 2 nights on the baseball calendar. I'm sorry. The best 2 nights in baseball are the wild card games. One-off, winner-take-all. They're usually bananas. You know, the Brewer game certainly was this year. I can't remember what the other one was, but they're usually great games. And it's just instant drama. And it's not more, it's less. And that's just a brilliant thing that they did, and it works. Now they're going to make those best 2 out of 3? Yuck. No, I hate that. And then there's the whole picking thing, which on one level is sort of neat, but on the other, I just hate sort of the blah fest it would be. It's like, so, I mean, you know what it is. So it's like the team with the highest seed gets to pick their opponent, and whoever they pick, that team goes, oh, you don't think you can beat? Well, you don't think we can beat you, do you? Like, oh, you must think we suck. Oh, we're going to show you. And it's like, oh, Jesus. You know, no, it's the format. We have to pick someone.
Yeah, you get who you get and just play them.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, like, it's just so childish. Because
I kind of like that.
Yeah, but so, like, you know, oh, you don't think we can beat you, huh? Oh, well, we're going to show you. No, dude, it's the new format. We have to pick someone, and you had the worst record. So we just picked you. But, no, we think it's going to be a good series. But it's like, it's that whole thing. It's like, oh, they didn't show us any respect. You must not respect us. You wanted us, huh? Oh, we're going to give it to you. That's just so corny and contrived. And
you might get upsets, though. I'll give a team the ass.
You get upsets anyway. A wild card team just won the World Series.
Yeah.
Baseball doesn't worry. One of the few problems they don't have is upsets. their tournament's the tournament. You make the tournament, anyone can win. It's a good thing about baseball. Home field doesn't matter. Number one seed doesn't matter. You're in, you're in. So they don't need any more upsets. It's just, you know, I've gotten so sick of the blah culture. Like, you don't think we can beat you? Well, I guess we're going to find out. And then they beat us like, oh, you didn't think we could beat you, did you? Suck on that. It's like, no, dude, it's the format. We had to pick someone, so we picked you. It's no disrespect intent. It's like, it just opens up more bitching on Twitter. It's like, bleh.
Blood culture.
No, it's more, it just feeds the blood culture.
Okay, I like the whole disrespect thing, though. I think baseball could use some of that. I do, because again,
the game's better with hate.
Absolutely. There's not enough.
You don't think the playoffs are competitive? The playoffs are plenty competitive. The game's still unwatchable. It takes 4 hours, but the playoff games are plenty competitive. Those wild card games are great. There's 7-game series. Things go down to the wire. Teams claw to the end. Teams fight for every pitch. They're plenty competitive in the playoffs. They need it in the regular season. In the playoffs, the competition, you know, the compete level is not the issue with the sport.
So I don't mind, though, that I need a reason to watch the Oakland A's in the playoffs at this stage. And if it's because they're pissed off that the Yankees picked them, then so be it. Like, that's all I'm telling you. Look, I get what they're trying to do on some level, which is if we have 7 playoff teams instead of 5, well, now maybe more teams are avoiding tanking. Because they can get in.
Okay, so that's a plus to this. I'm not against more playoff teams.
I'll tell you what, I love the idea of 3 play-in games.
Okay.
Make them one
game. Exactly, that's my problem. Don't make those 2 out of 3.
Oh my God, I love that.
Make them one off. Give me more one off. That is what baseball needs. They need more instant drama as opposed to this long, drawn out thing. No, give me more drama. So I'm okay with more playoff teams because you'll get less tanking. And, you know, a more top-to-bottom competitive regular season, fine. And then there's something to play for with the bye. Like, I'm okay with that. So you'll get competition on the top of the league going for the bye. Competition in the middle of the league going for one of those spots. I'm fine. Just don't pick your opponent and just like, bruh. Like, I just, yuck. You know, like, so like as someone wrote on one of the things, it's like, a team picks another team to play in the first round, and then if they lose, they get taunted for their arrogance.
Yeah.
Well, how are we arrogant? It's the format. We have to pick somebody. It's just dumb. But don't make them 2 out of 3.
I'm okay with dumb. I like it.
Make them one off.
I can see the Red Sox picking the Twins and losing.
Okay. Murray's going to give you a 90-second update. Then he's got a conspiracy theory on this whole thing, on this whole forgotten playoff. I mean, this is a little much, don't you think? So he's got the conspiracy theory on that and your calls, I promise, right after his update. No spots here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.